Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the final deal for the Butte Superfund site, Flathead Lake, and how it continues to defy the odds as a healthy blue body of water that's free of invasive mussels, and the second meeting of Montana's Missing Indigenous Persons Task Force. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. It's Monday, August 12th. A Billings elementary teacher was disciplined after she allowed a convicted violent offender to visit her classroom more than 30 times during the 2018-2019 school year. Parents complained that Tawana Robinson had allowed Timothy John Keel to befriend her students and gain their trust, despite being convicted for a 2012 drug-related kidnapping. Today is the day when a milestone in Butte's Superfund cleanup was supposed to have been reached. A final Superfund deal for the Butte Hill. Now the parties negotiating that agreement say they need a little more time. Montana Public Radio's Nora Sachs has the details.
On his last day on the job, former EPA regional boss Doug Benevento told the parties hashing out the deal that they had until August 12th to get it done. That's today, and that legally binding consent decree, or CD, has not yet been signed, sealed, or delivered. The EPA's Chris Wardell says his agency and the parties it's negotiating with, the state, county, and Atlantic Richfield, have asked for a 30-day extension.
I would say that the CD parties have made substantial progress and that this extension just allows for kind of more of the specifics to be completely agreed to and outlined.
Wardell says EPA has to respond to the more than 500 individual comments they received on changes they want to make to Butte's 2006 legal Superfund cleanup plan, and that's taking time. Those proposed changes are the backbone of this final financial deal. Wardell says once the consent decree negotiations are over, it will take several more weeks to get the deal signed and lodged in the district court. The whole process is overseen by a federal judge. But it's critical to get all the parties on board with the agreement so that new deadline is not set in stone.
If we need another 30 days, if we think we're close to the CD, but we're not quite there, then we can extend it as well. But really, we and the CD parties want to wrap this up so the public has some certainty.
Butte resident Northy Trethaway says he's not surprised negotiations are taking a little longer, and that being thorough is better than making hasty decisions just to meet a timeline.
How many years have we been going through this Superfund effort? 2 months to make sure it's done right, if that's what the 2 months is going to help with, is beneficial.
Trethaway is with the Grassroots Restore Our Creek Coalition and says for them, the delay is a good thing. It gives the group more time to push for a restored Silverbow Creek in the center of town and more time to inform the public about the big Superfund decisions underway right now.
And we want to make sure as citizens who live here, the true stakeholders, are aware of what we are going to end up having for forever.
So far, Atlantic Richfield has spent an estimated $280 million on cleaning up Butte priority soils. And if this deal goes through, the company plans to spend at least $100 million more. After 37 years on the Superfund National Priorities List, the Environmental Protection Agency expects the ink will be dried on Butte's final cleanup deal this October. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.
Montana authorities say a volunteer firefighter told two teenage girls they had to leave their home because of a wildfire, then gave them alcohol and sexually assaulted them. The Independent Record reports 55-year-old Edward Chevalier has been charged with two misdemeanor counts of sexual assault and unlawful transactions with children. He was suspended from the Canyon Creek Volunteer Fire Department. The 18- and 19-year-old girls told Lewis and Clark County Sheriff's officials that they believed Chevalier when he told them Tuesday they had to leave their house because of a fire near Lincoln. The girls' home is outside the evacuation zone. Sheriff Leo Dutton says evacuation orders are typically carried out by deputies. Chevalier did not immediately return a voicemail for comment. Flathead Lake continues to defy national trends as a healthy blue body of water that's free of invasive mussels. That's according to the director of the University of Montana's Flathead Lake Biological Station, who gave his annual State of the Lake address Friday. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
Jim Elser spoke at the biostation's open house.
So what is the state of our lake, Flathead Lake citizens? The state of our lake is blue. So we know that it's been blue. It's been blue for a long time. We'll tell you how blue it's been.
Elser explained that a near-record water clarity sample was just taken last week. The station has been measuring water clarity since 1977, and data continues to show that the lake's waters aren't becoming any murkier or changing colors. All signs that nutrient pollution remains in check. Phosphorus levels have actually been declining over the last 10 years. Elser also said that the biostation is expanding its water clarity dataset through a citizen science program that kicked off last year.
We got almost as much range of observations in 1 year just by going to different parts of the lake that we got in 40-odd years just measuring at Midlake Deep, our main sampling station. So that's kind of cool to see that.
Elser delivered the good news Friday that Flathead Lake remains invasive mussel free as well. Monitoring efforts using advanced DNA detection technology continue. Elser says the station has the ability to detect extremely small zebra or quagga mussel DNA particles in the water within an hour of sampling.
So we do think that if they got in like that side of Yellow Bay and we could localize them, you could bring in a curtain, seal it all off, hit it with this molluscicide, and then keep hitting it. And hopefully try to get them out, but there are no known examples of this.
Elser says in the past he wouldn't think such a strategy would be effective, but a recent study detailed how zebra mussels were removed from a smaller system, giving him hope that small-scale removal is possible. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The town of West Yellowstone is going to ask voters if they want to increase the resort tax to help expand water and sewer capacity and pay for other infrastructure projects. The legislature passed a bill allowing resort towns to increase their sales tax from 3 to 4% for specific projects. Montana's Missing Indigenous Persons Task Force met for the second time in Great Falls, Montana this weekend. As Olivia Reingold reports, the task force focused on what role data can play in addressing the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous people.
This task force was formed in the last legislative session to address what many people see as a total mismanagement of how tribal people are found once they go missing. This is the task force's second meeting, and they met to focus on the management of databases to find people, and overlaps and gaps in jurisdictions for who is spearheading the search. Jennifer Veets called me on the way back to Helena. She's the Montana Missing Persons Clearinghouse Manager. The Clearinghouse is a public database online that lists every missing persons case that's currently open with Montana law enforcement. She told me about some of the challenges with keeping the Clearinghouse up to date and complete.
We want to make sure we have every missing person in the database so we have a complete picture of who's missing. It's pretty hard to find people if we don't know they're missing in the first place. And so we want to make sure that, you know, communities trust that they can report missing persons. We want to stop the myth about a 24-hour or 48-hour waiting period that does not exist. And so a family member can contact law enforcement at any time to report someone missing.
She encourages people to report missing persons immediately because delays only hurt the search. Plus, it's not a crime to be missing. Native people in Montana tend to go missing at rates that outpace their share of the state population. American Indians currently account for about 21% of all missing persons cases in the state of Montana, while only accounting for 6.6% of the state population, according to U.S. Census data from last July. That said, it's widely assumed that many missing Indigenous people go unreported. Deputy State Attorney General Melissa Schlichting says even law enforcement officials are often confused about who enters a missing person into a database.
Particularly today, what we talked about was wanting to try to establish or collect a complete list of all of the missing Indigenous persons within the state of Montana and how best to make sure that we're getting all of the information so we have a clearer picture of who all is missing.
Tell me about when you're working to define the scope of the problem. What are some of the challenges in doing that?
We have a number of Indian reservations within the state of Montana, and we have a number of federal partners which operate within those jurisdictions, as well as our state law enforcement and others who also operate within Indian country as well. And so it's figuring out the right jurisdiction and who the reporting law enforcement agency is going to be, who the investigating law enforcement agency is going to be, can sometimes be a challenging to people who are trying to report someone as missing. They don't necessarily know, should they go to tribal law enforcement? Should they go to state law enforcement? Should they go to the FBI if it occurs in the reservation but it involves a non-Indian? Then who has jurisdiction? Those sorts of issues make it very tricky.
And so what does that mean in a practical sense? What were you hearing from tribal representatives about how that jurisdictional overlap plays out in these communities?
Primarily what we heard today was that people don't know where they can report and whether or not they are only required to report to tribal law enforcement. And one of the things we really clarified for all of the tribal representatives today is that with the passage of House Bill 54 and House Bill 20, you can make a report to any law enforcement agency within the state of Montana, including county and local law enforcement, for a missing persons report, regardless of where the person went missing. So even if a person who is on a reservation goes missing, they can go to their county law enforcement or their local police department and make a report, and they can also go to their tribal law enforcement as well. They're not restricted to one or the other.
And tell me about how that compares to people's past options.
Well, I think the perception is still out there, and we heard from some tribal representatives today that they still were feeling that there is this misperception that people on the reservation can't report missing people to anyone other than a tribal law enforcement.
The task force is also responsible for awarding a tribal college a $25,000 matching grant to create a network to help Montana tribes identify, report, and find missing Native Americans. They'll pick that back up at their next meeting on September 27th in Billings. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.